So you know what's an old debate? Oh. Been done before. By us, actually.
Okay.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? That's from years ago. Not a big deal. Been settled.
Yeah.
Tired. You know what the new thing is?
What's the new thing?
Is Sound of Music a World War II movie?
Oh. Hmm. Interesting. I would think so. Right?
Yeah.
No?
Well, let me say, I'm rewatching it now. Bro. It's the
long movie, isn't it? If I haven't seen it in 30 years. So.
Oh, it's been okay. Yeah. There's literally an intermission, and that's where we're at now.
That's usually a good sign that it's a long movie.
Yeah. After. So my wife and I do a movie exchange thing. Like she picks one, I pick one.
I love this idea.
It's a good way to keep things going. Kind of show each other movies I think you may like. If you get too weird and I show her something she hates, she has, you know, I can make you watch Love Actually or something like that. As revenge, you know what I mean? As revenge, she's got something in her back pocket. So it kind of keeps us in line. It's good. We don't sit there and just scroll through all the movies we could watch. It's like, okay, I pick.
Can I interlude just real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I love this idea. You've told me this idea before. I told the wife, I was like, what if we had a movie marathon, okay, but we each get two picks and we alternate over a day?
That'd be fun.
Like four movies, that would take a fairly good chunk of the day. She's like, okay. I was like, ooh. Anyway, continue.
That actually sounds kind of fun. Cozy. Yeah.
And I said, you got to put the phones away. You got to focus. You got to pay attention. You got to follow the story. You got to follow the plot. If we have subtitles, I'll read those.
Okay. So if I can't get a hold of you next Saturday, you're doing your cozy little movie deal.
Oh.
Put my phone up. Watching Harry Potter 5.
I did watch Harry Potter 7 Part 1 and a little bit of Part 2. But I digress.
I didn't mind those, the 7th one.
I'm a little confused by the time I get to there. I'll be honest. I told my wife I didn't read all the books. I read 5 of the books.
Yeah.
Looked at me like, and you have a book podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of what they do start picking up.
They don't check the credentials, you know? I mean, maybe we should, but yeah, I got a little confused about who's who, what's the backstory, why. Snape's good, I think.
It's a big twist he winds up being.
Yeah, I was watching that part and I was like, how does this go again? Anyway, I derailed your intro.
Oh, no, it's all right. That's perfect.
Harry Potter's a Christmas movie, by the way.
Yep. Anything you ritually watch on Christmas can be a Christmas movie. So,
I don't think there's really a World War II. You know, that's kind of an interesting debate. What's a World War II?
Well, it's not, you know, there's less debates surrounding it. You kind of know what a World War II is, but Sound of Music is a music, you know, obviously a musical. And let me tell you, so it was so, I like you, I hadn't seen it in 30 years. I didn't like it when I was a kid because it was sold to me as, hey, here's a World War II movie. Here's the thing. Every Friday night, my dad would go rent an old movie, and he's pretty good at choosing. Like, we watched The Great Escape and The Dirty Dozen. We liked those old World War II movies. And he really liked, he and my mom liked The Sound of Music, right? She's like, here's a World War II movie too. And we're like,
oh, he tricked you. Okay.
So it's like, okay, all right, let's go. It's like, it takes place in like 30s Austria. I'm thinking, okay, Indiana Jones. I'm like, all right. And it opens.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
A lady singing in the mountains. Mm. And right away, it's like, oh yeah, what is going on? Are she going to get shot? Where are the armies? Like, what's going on? And it's like, just wait, you'll see. And it's like, okay. The next scene, turns out she's a nun. And the next scene takes place in church, and the nun starts singing. And like, what is happening right now? What is going on? Don't worry, because the next scene, the nun gets sent to be a nanny for a bunch of German kids, and they start singing together. And then the next scene is about a girl flirting with a boy she likes in a gazebo. And it's just, oh my, what is happening? So I really, it didn't get interesting until the very end, I remember, when the little Nazi kid shows up. And you know, you see his little armband, and you're like, finally, so is he gonna get shot now? Is something gonna happen? Are we gonna get a commando raid at that concert at the end? But no, they sing in the hills as they're running away.
Yeah, you mean...
I didn't like it.
False pretenses, right?
I don't know that it counts as a World War II movie in the vein of, you know, the Dirty Dozen.
I don't know if I'm doing this on purpose, but I think I feel like I'm subconsciously leaning into your methods of madness, your ways of reading, the books you like. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, and I'll get into it later on in the episode. But I wanted to tell you, I'm still experimenting with the audio format of books.
Yeah.
And I switched it up, okay? I think the last time, maybe one of the last two times we recorded, I was telling you I was listening to the Napoleon biography by Andrew Roberts. It's 33 hours. I realized it was too big of an undertaking. I might dabble in and out of that book. But I started in The Garden of Beasts by Eric Larson about the ambassador to Germany right as Hitler takes over. So that is definitely a World War II book. I don't know really what the connection I was trying to make here, but other than I'm listening to audiobooks and that's a World War II book, and it's so far very fascinating. So I'm just trying to relate to you, I guess.
Yeah, see, that's a World War II. I guess the thing is, like, things like Cabaret is technically, that takes place in, like, Weimar, Germany. Weimar.
There's you something know. About because stories told before, I think there is some sort of connection of,
especially,
you know, things are about to change. So
especially when it's ominously looming in the background.
Which, I think World War II kind of impacts before and after the actual war. So you can kind of, but The Sound of Music, I would say, firstly, it's a musical with a minor in World War II.
With the backdrop. Let me say, as an adult, I kind of like, it's fine. It's good. I like it. It's well acted. I like Christopher Plummer.
You're not having your kids watch this too?
He doesn't have the attention span.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I had the attention span when I watched it in like second grade.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For
a lot of songs here, right?
For little boys, it was kind of boring.
Maybe he's surprised. He'd be like, hey, you know what, I'll
let him try. I won't forbid it. I'll be like, hey, here's a cool World War. I'll show him Indiana Jones. I'll be like, here's another World War II movie and put on The Sound of Music. See what happens.
Can I hit you with another sort of related story?
Yeah.
A little one too. My brother one year got for my mom a signed playbill of The Sound of Music signed by Julie Andrews.
Oh, wow.
He met her and got it signed.
Your brother did?
Yeah, I think. I know the playbill was signed by Julie Andrews, and I feel like he met her.
That really doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me.
Think about Peter's brother. You're like, oh yeah, of course he met Julie Andrews. Had dinner with her.
And I was like, hey mom, here's a scarf.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay. I appreciate it. Julie Andrews signed playbill.
Yeah. That must have been rough. Gifts, Christmas and gifts. Your brother's an interesting
storyteller
person. Yeah.
I was about to say Flashman, but no, not Flashman, but like,
not personality.
The way Flashman meets people,
like
not so much his character, not in any way his character or like his
morals.
Just the name drops, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Forrest Gump. That's not flattering either.
Forrest Gump,
you know, just happens to be everywhere.
Forrest Gump and Flashman are both name droppers, and they're both are very, very different people. I think it's just the name dropping aspect.
But the point is, they both happen to be at these big events in history.
Yeah.
It's not like your brother like golfed with Steph Curry, like stuff like that. So of course he met Julie Andrews.
Yeah,
so how it goes.
I think that's right. The playbill is correct, but I feel like he met her. He might not.
Okay.
His latest thing was he was getting a backstage. I'm sure he's okay with some of these stories being told. A backstage tour of The Lion King, and who was standing right next to him? Mr. Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he made a joke, and Bradley Cooper was like, kind of laughed.
Oh.
Nice. That's the latest story. Anyway. Nice.
Lion King was animated. How is he backstage?
Broadway play. Come on. Keep up.
Ask him. I want to ask him if we ever, he'd be fun to have on. I'll ask him what Bradley Cooper smells like.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. Apparently, he didn't want to be recognized. But your brother was like, come on.
Oh, really?
BC, let's go. Come on. I like Bradley Cooper.
It's pretty good. The Maestro movie.
Maestro. It's true. I feel like he's kind of a bookish guy. Don't you think he would read a book or two?
He seems bookish.
Maybe. We should play a game at some point. Bookish or not?
Yeah, do you think this person reads?
We just list people and we decide if they're bookish or not.
Yeah, does this person read?
Also, it could be fake bookish or real bookish.
There's a funny thing going around Twitter. Like, you know how certain celebrities... What?
I said, do tell.
Oh, right. Certain celebrities get photographed, like, reading books. And there's, like, an account that kind of, like, gathered, like, four of the most famous. Like, LeBron James and some other, like, big-name celebrities. And it's like, why are they always on the first page? And it, like, sure enough, they are, like, they're holding up a book, being photographed, reading, and it's always the first page. You know? Maybe it's staged.
PR. What if you, let's say you and I are celebrities at some point, and we're reading a book out at a coffee shop, but we're reading one of our, like, and someone takes a picture, like, you know where you want to show off your good books and your good bookcases for, like, you know, people come over for dinner or whatever, and you're like, and you stop the photographer, and he's like, actually, I have another book in my book bag. Can you retake that picture so you can see me reading War and Peace? And they're like, no. I mean, you're reading... Let me just pick a book out of the blue here, looking at my bookcases as we talk. I don't know what an embarrassing book to... There are no embarrassing books, but you know what I mean.
Harry Potter 5.
Harry Potter 5. Or, yeah. That would actually...
You're reading YA. You're reading, like,
science. Yeah, you're like... Oof. And you have, like, dog-eared pages, like, dog-eared...
You're highlighting some YA book.
Nate. Interesting. Anyway, you stop the photographer... And just be like, hey, can I get another book out of my book bag? Can we redo this photo?
Like, I always carry Infinite Jest around with me. So just
carry Infinite Jest around. I got Lord of the Rings here. I got, you know, David Copperfield. You got time for David Copperfield?
That's an impressive. David Copperfield.
It's on my bookcase. I just looked at it right now.
I got Demon.
I've not read it. I have an old Barnes & Noble edition. With old classics they used to do.
For my birthday this last year, I got David Copperfield, the Penguin Classic Edition, and Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver. Like a pair. It's cool.
That's pretty cool. I like that. Should I start the episode, Matt?
Let's do it.
And on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books, Christmas, and everything else. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. Matt, this is the Christmas episode. This is a Christmas movie, you can call it episode, I guess. I kind of have some curveballs later on in the episode.
Cool. All right.
We decided to... The main movie we picked is the 2000... It's not a classic. I would argue it's not really a Christmas movie.
I wouldn't...
Reindeer Games.
Yeah.
With one Ben Affleck, Charlize Theron, Gary Sinise... Dana Stubberfield, former NFL player. And then we had a choice to pick a Hallmark movie. And I'm going to come out right from the top here, Matt. I watched Reindeer Games. I did not pick a Hallmark movie. There are too many of them. And I just watched Love Actually instead.
Okay. Is Love Actually a Hallmark Christmas movie?
Good question. No, because it came out in theaters. Yeah,
but okay. It's in content though. It's kind of,
you've seen Love Actually, right?
Yeah, and I don't mind it. It is cheesy.
It is cheesy. It is. There's a lot of. My wife was watching it with me, and she kept pointing out just some of the characters are just really bad people.
Well, sure.
And it kind of. I was like, come on! Like, can I just watch my Love Actually and just.
But that's part of it, right?
Like, Alan Rickman's not good. He's not good. He treats Emma Thompson horribly in that movie.
But that's kind of the point of it, right? Love brings everybody together.
True. And then the one guy who filmed Keira Knightley during her wedding, that guy's weird.
Well, I think we've talked about this before, but wouldn't you want a little heads up from your wife? Like, hey, you know you think Brian's like a really good friend, but let me tell you what happened the other night. he had a bunch of cue cards.
It is as seamless a transition of, oh, I'm so like, she's kind of taken it back, but in a like positive way.
She's
like,
smiling. Do you think, I don't think she tells, like, you're not meant to believe the character, like, tells her husband, hey, your friend, like, really likes me.
And at one point, Laura Linney is sitting next to him and sort of makes a comment. And he's just sort of, he's sitting there filming. And that's, I don't know how to describe it. It just, in real life, if you saw someone doing that, you'd be like, this is odd.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he, usually if you want to, like a film of the wedding. And also too, he's not actually the like registered like person that taking photos and everything. She comes to him later, like, hey, I realized you were like videotaping the whole wedding. Wouldn't that be a red flag? That might be a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if I came to your wedding and I just filmed your wife, that would be weird.
Yeah. Be like, what's Peter doing? How come he only circulate, get some more.
Out loud made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I didn't like saying that out loud.
And you show up at my door with note cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's safe to say that couple, they have an affair.
I don't think they last.
The marriage didn't last, and they have the affair breaks it up. I think. Yeah.
Let me start with, did you watch a Hallmark movie? Which one?
Yeah.
And right. Your thoughts.
Here's my game. There are so many. I kind of like them.
Overwhelming.
I watch a handful every year.
Love it.
So I had to narrow down to four. I'm going to read you the description of each one. I want you to pick the one I chose. Try to guess. Right?
Oh, okay.
Just try to guess the one I chose. Brief synopsis of each. Okay. All right. The first option was Two Town with the letter or the number two instead of two.
Two Town. Okay.
Gerald, Malcolm Jamal Warner, a former member of the popular boy band Front to Back, number two,
right? I like that.
Has grown grumpy and sullen after being kicked out of the band. Doing solo shows for sparse crowds in riverboat casinos in Mississippi, Gerald is offered a new chance at happiness when an old flame he left behind when he hit it big comes back into his life, along with her very fat and very jolly grandfather.
Okay, I didn't know where that was coming. Okay. Right? Did you make up some of these?
No, just listen to them all.
Okay. They're all real?
They're real. Okay. Christmas Do-Over. Kevin J. Moore writes jingles for a living.
He's not very nice, but continue.
He does really good impressions.
Does he? I don't know. Okay.
He really does. Doesn't make you a good person, but they're uncannily accurate. All right. Writes jingles for a living, is divorced, and a terrible dad. When he ruins Christmas Day by attacking Santa, Jesus, and Mary, the universe takes revenge by forcing him to relive the same day over and over again until he learns to be a good person.
I think I might enjoy that movie. Continue.
It's like Groundhog Day at Christmas.
Okay.
Right? Okay. A Castle for Christmas. To escape a scandal, best-selling author Brooke Shields journeys to Scotland, where she falls in love with a castle and faces off with a very, very grumpy duke who owns it, Cary Elwes.
Mm.
All right.
Okay.
Here's the last one. Don't Tread on Christmas. Daryl McDonough, Skeet Ulrich, is on the run from his ex-wife for alimony and the U.S. government for his actions while part of a radical militia. Holing up in a rural Vermont town, Daryl finds work at a Christmas tree farm that serves as a front for a large marijuana consortium.
Oh, wow.
Daryl, trying to keep his head down, is uneasy with his new role, and the unease grows as a mysterious private investigator and a beautiful FBI agent converge on the cozy little hamlet. If he doesn't tread carefully, Daryl could find himself in some very spicy eggnog.
Oh. Hmm. Which one do I think you watched?
Yeah.
I think you watched the Jay Moore one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Four or four? Two or four?
Two or four Don't Tread on Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. So I watched one last year. I watched the official one this year. Okay. And two, and I made up two. Two don't exist. So.
Look at you.
I mean, good call. You kind of know what.
No, I'm impressed by you every day. Good job, Matt.
Thanks. Which ones were real?
Which ones were real? I think two and three
are real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I right?
No, one and four are real. No, one and three. Three, you're right. You're right. One is the Castle for Christmas is real, and that's the one I watched this year.
Castle for Christmas.
And the Jay Moore one's real. I watched that last year.
So that's two.
No, no, you were right. I had them in a different order than I read them. All right, good call. Now you got it. They're listed out. I read them in different order.
Ah, the beauty of this podcast, 150 episodes in.
I think Don't You're Wrong. Christmas sounds pretty good. Hallmark movies don't usually get political.
I like when I like castles and Christmas. There seems to be this new thing where people buy castles. Like there's just like old dumpy castles somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
I think you and I could possibly buy a castle somewhere.
Well, if enough people join the Patreon, I think
True. We
should have the castle as our podcast.
Or maybe even a nice old villa. Get into the villa game.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be great.
I would like a villa. Villa's something to aspire to.
We'll come at you from a villa in Italy.
How many stars would you give this movie, this new one?
Pretty good. Four to five.
Did you make it cry?
No. No.
The most important question, did it raise or lower your Christmas spirit?
It raised it. It's a good, there's a formula you got to follow, you know? So Brooke, I chose it because Brooke Shields is an author.
I didn't know she was still making movies, Brooke Shields.
Yeah. She's good in it. She looks
she used to be married. She used to be married to Andre Agassi.
Yep. You know, some actors and actresses and actors look a little weird, like they've had some work done on their faces. Yeah. She doesn't look weird. She looks
good.
Looks good. She looks nice.
I'm gonna pull some Brooke Shields facts while you
Google Castle for Christmas. You'll see what's going on. So I chose it because she plays an author, right? She plays a very popular author. And her fan base is upset with her because in her latest book, she killed off a popular male character, right? And so she has a meltdown on the Drew Barrymore.
Oh, the other main guy, I recognize him.
Yeah, Princess Bride.
Drew Barrymore's in this movie.
Cameo. On the Drew Barrymore.
Oh, she plays herself.
I'm trying to get to that right now.
Okay, sorry.
On the Drew Barrymore talk show, which I guess is a real thing. The Brooke Shields character has a meltdown on air where she yells at her fan base.
Mm.
She's annoyed that they're upset with her, right? So she moves to Scotland to let the bad press settle down, you know, rents a room in a little castle owned by Cary Elwes, who's
okay.
She thinks he's the groundskeeper at first because he's hands-on, you know? Oh, and he doesn't have a lot of money, but he loves the castle. So he doesn't want to, but he like opens the castle for tours. And he does not like her at first. He's like, who's this lady? Hoity-toity, who does she think she is? She doesn't like him because he's grumpy, you know? Mm-hmm. She's going to try to buy the castle from him. He agrees to let her buy the castle, but it's like a trick.
This is a very old castle. This doesn't look like a livable castle,
though. It looks cool, and it's like a cozy little Christmas movie in Scotland.
Okay.
And so the gist of it is he's like, okay, I'll sell it to you, but with the condition you have to live here for 3 months.
Mm.
Right? But he just needs – and, you know, and if you decide to move out after the 3 months, I get to keep the deposit you made for – you know. So he's going to try to drive her away in the 3 months and use the money to keep going. Right? Okay. A little – so and then, you know. Comedy ensues as he's trying to drive her away. But guess what, Peter? They fall in love.
They love each other. One of the quotes here about from a review in The National says, if you haven't watched Cary Elwes try to catch a snowflake on his tongue, you haven't lived. How about that?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good... Okay. This doesn't look... I would possibly watch this movie. I'm not going to lie.
It's, you know, you know, it's good. Obviously, they wind up together. It's one of those, so the rhythm of it is don't like each other at first, shenanigans, fall in love, but with like 30 minutes left to go. So it's like there's a misunderstanding and they kind of disagree again, and she's about to leave town. Big dramatic get together right before she leaves.
Very good. Very
Christmas good. Party at the end. Castle for Christmas.
I like it. I'm about to get in a Brooke Shields wormhole. She has a very long Wikipedia page, but I will jump out of that and pivot over to our main attraction, a movie that's not good. That is very odd in many ways.
It could use some work. It wasn't a bad premise.
Not a bad premise.
When I was reading the synopsis, like, okay, it's not.
And that would be the 2000 Reindeer Games. Now, it is, I think it's trying to be an edgy sort of Christmas movie. I think it's a heist movie with Christmas as a, like a side dish in a way. To kind of explain the movie in one simple sentence, it was delayed and released in February.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a Christmas release.
So that kind of tells you a little bit about how they thought. The movie tested poorly, and they released it in February of 2000.
Yeah.
And this is with a hot Ben Affleck, a rising Charlize Theron, like a famous director.
Yeah, good director. So let me...
Give me the premise, because the premise...
So I got...
Is something...
Yeah. Well, no, I got the director's cut DVD right here.
Oh.
And it got a blurb from Elmore Leonard, of all people. Reindeer Games rocks. A high energy thriller that never lets go.
It does let go, but okay.
Well, looking back, I'm like, oh, I bet his assistant wrote that and he just knows the screenwriter or something. Oh, yeah. But I saw that. And, you know, if you read the premise is Ben Affleck is in jail and his cellmate was pen pals with a beautiful girl. His cellmate dies right before they get out. Ben Affleck is released and pretends to be a cellmate to meet the beautiful girl, right?
He's got already convoluted, but continue.
But no. But that's like, it's like the plot of an Elmore Leonard book. It's like, okay, if you pull it off, this is an interesting. And then he gets pulled into the girl's brother wants to rob a casino and he gets pulled into the robbery because they think he's someone else. The bare bones plot is like, okay, that's an interesting premise.
By the way, we're going to spoil this movie.
We're going to spoil it. Anyway,
so almost like, a 25-year-old movie, so we're going to spoil it.
Yeah. So. But anyway, I'm like, okay, if you pull it off, and I was like, maybe this movie is better than its reputation. Because sometimes if a movie flops at the box office, people write it off. And if you go back and look, and it's like, so I was halfway wondering, like, is it going to be that bad? And it kind of was. When there was something missing, you know?
I'm going to just spitball some observations. It is shot in a weird way. Almost like the camera was at an angle and everyone else is upright. And it's very weird. Like there are a lot of close-up scene, like the shots. And I was like, this is filmed very odd.
Yeah.
Observation one. Observation two. Ben Affleck. I don't think he's a bad actor. He can do bad stuff. I think he had a period where he could be very, I don't know what the hand, like he was a caricature of himself. I can't say that word. Where it was just like he smiles and he's like done something bad. And then he feels, he doesn't work in this movie.
I was going to say, I think he's wrong for the part. I think you need a grittier guy. I don't know who. Would this be better with Keanu Reeves?
I think it would be better if it was a different movie.
Well, I think if you punch it up, make it a little more humorous. I think he's miscast. I like Affleck as an actor, but if for this role, I don't think he's right.
Charlize Theron's weird. They have this like, there's kind of like, I think a selling point of the movie, if I'm not mistaken, was like they have a very intimate scene. And it's like this, it was kind of, I think the I think I read something. The director was like worried that this movie was not going to be able to be released because of that scene. Like he made it
It's
too
yeah, it was
steep.
pretty graphic. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's just kind of out of the blue, and then it just kind of, you're like, what is going on here? Gary Sinise is odd in the movie. He's intense. I
I
think
think
the tone is kind of weird in the movie. Vin
yeah.
Diesel is supposed to be in this movie.
One of the henchmen, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now there's some debate if he got in a fight with the director or if he turned this down to start the Fast series.
I mean, looking back, the faster is the better
It was a
move.
correct decision because the part he was supposed to play is this like no name part of an actor who actually went on to do stuff. I recognized him. So there's that. It's just there's a lot of twists in this movie that are
That last twist felt a little much.
yeah.
I like the fact that they tried. They went for another twist. Didn't see it coming, but I don't know that they pulled it off. There's a little too much like, wait, how would that work?
Yeah. For that to be their plan,
Like there's way
it's
too much
kind of
going on.
crazy.
And then Ben Affleck says it himself, like, how could you expect? It's like, and we're just as an audience, like, yeah. There's no way you knew he was going to throw his ID down the toilet. You didn't know that.
I was very surprised I didn't see this movie when it came out when I was 15 years old. I'll be completely honest.
Maybe
I was
geared.
seeing all of the terrible movies at this time.
Yeah.
Maybe I couldn't drive at that point, but if this movie came out when I was 16, I would have definitely have seen it.
Gone to it.
Yes.
I would put it.
Because it's not good, but I think you could have a fun time in the theater, maybe,
It
possibly.
wasn't. I saw it. I'm glad I saw it once, and I'm not going to revisit it. I think for a Christmas
Did you
movie,
make your wife, did you make your wife watch it?
she made it through 30 minutes, and she went to bed. So,
Good. Yeah.
yeah. So,
I fell asleep
what
during parts
did you?
and
Did
I
you?
wake up and then rewind it. And I was like, I didn't really miss much.
See, for the Christmas movie thing, I think it's got to be rewatchable. It's got to be.
Yes.
And so Die Hard gets thrown in there because it's so well crafted that you can watch it once a year. This, I'm never gonna watch this again.
I
Right.
wish I would have watched the old movies that we watched, you know, Shop Around the Corner. Yeah. This. Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene?
Oh, when he dressed up as a cowboy, it was, going around the casino and Ashton
Yeah.
Kutcher's in it for like
Ashton Kutcher's
10
in it for
seconds.
a second. They have kind of a fun scene on the ice. Charlize Theron said this was like her worst movie she was ever in. And then she picked it because of the director. And I can kind of see it's a really bad role.
It just,
It's like a terrible role. It's like very poor representation for like women movies.
Well, hey, it just didn't gel. I think there's something to the story. I don't know. You try to bake something and it's
Yeah.
like gooey in the middle. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just like things just didn't, the ingredients are there. Things just didn't come together. And sometimes it happens. I think this is kind of gooey in the middle. Like, eh.
It just didn't. He does give away a lot of money at the end. That's nice. That's charitable. That's a
But that
very
was
generous gift.
another. Yeah. He lives and he's the only survivor from the heist and he's walking home in his Santa outfit. And he's got a bag full of money and he puts stacks of $100 bills in people's mailbox on his way home, which is all he wanted for Christmas was to be at
He
home.
walks like 20 miles home.
But here's the thing, a casino was just knocked over by five men dressed as Santa,
He's dressed as Santa, yeah.
and all the way to the home where he's at. There's a trail of money in people's mailboxes. And at the very end, he's sitting at dinner with his family dressed as Santa. I think he's going to get caught like the next day.
Pretty quickly. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm gonna do all the twists in this movie. You don't have to watch this movie. In fact, if you're like
We'll
bored.
explain it to you. Yeah.
So you kind of explained the beginning. Okay. So we have Charlize Theron and Ben Affleck is pretending to be his sort of cellmate.
His cellmate, buddy, his
Who he
friend.
thinks gets killed at the beginning. Okay.
Yeah. And that's a big one. He thinks gets killed.
Charlize Theron and Ben Affleck then are like pseudo kidnapped by Gary Sinise and these three other guys
They're
and
truckers.
truckers and
They're
incorporated
long
into this plan to rob a casino.
haul.
We are then told that Gary Sinise is the older obviously older brother to Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At a couple points, Gary Sinise like shoots at his sister. What this is what we think. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We then come to find out that it seems that they're not brother and sister, but that they're actually dating, and that this was a ploy to like
to lure
Ben Affleck in into this plan, right?
Because they his cellmate, who Ben Affleck's pretending to be, was a security guard at this casino before I went to jail. So they think he's got all this special knowledge of the casino.
Yeah.
That Ben Affleck doesn't have, but he's got to pretend to have, right? Yeah.
Then, our last major twist, Charlize Theron shoots and kills Gary Sinise. And then it is revealed that the cellmate of Ben Affleck that we thought died early has survived. Okay.
It was staged, faked his death.
Faked his death. And then it paid off a guard to tell them that
spread
the rumor that he has died.
And the guy who supposedly shanked him was like in on it. And it was
he
fake
was in for life and it just like, whatever, here's some money. And then so he is actually really dating Charlize Theron. And that the whole plan was what he went to a bar where the truckers were at.
The whole thing was orchestrated by his cellmate.
Yeah.
And the whole plan was to have somebody else rob the casino for him. Mm-hmm. And so Charlize Theron planted the seed to the truckers. And then while he was in jail, the roommate was telling Ben Affleck's character all these stories. They were just big, way long-term planning for not a lot of, I don't know. It seemed very intricate planning it was a stretch. The twist was a stretch.
It's a stretch. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're trying to make it like a web of how this works,
yeah,
you're probably this is not in, screenwriting 101, all these like jumps that we're doing here.
And I will say, I did appreciate all the twists. And at first when you're like, Charlize Theron lets it slip something about like he was shanked for you. And
yeah, that's like,
wait, I never said, how did she know he was shanked?
How is that the thing he caught where it's like, this isn't making sense?
Yeah. Well, but he did. And I'm like, oh, and then you hear someone the roommate whistles a song he whistled earlier. And he comes around like, oh, he's still alive. And it got me. It's like, oh, that's a twist. He's still alive. And I was like, cool. But then I'm like, wait. And you start thinking it logically and you're like, oh, that's not, this isn't that, like, doesn't add up.
No. What else are they going to say? They have a scene in a like motel in this movie, and it's a wild scene where Ben Affleck's trying to get away, but the motel is like really odd. It has, you probably didn't even notice this. This is like a weird thing I noticed. It had these like, it just, the walls were just the big things of brick.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and they were just painted over. I'm like, where's this motel?
Oh,
how is this
Upper Peninsula, Michigan is where the place.
But it was like, that's the set design choice they made. This hotel's made of like brick.
Yeah, I buy that.
I didn't buy it.
Well, cheap motels are weird sometimes.
That's possible.
I buy it. Yeah.
It's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. Yeah,
great. You know what I did that was fun?
Hmm.
I did some prop bets.
I know.
My wife and I did them. Should have done this before when we picked it. We got to get better at getting on top of that. But I did them. I sent them to Peter. He ignored them. But it's okay.
I mean, it's busy. It's holiday time. We're trying to get.
No, I got you. But I thought they were fun. So I'll read down what I did, what I thought, and then what actually happened.
Okay. This will be fun.
Okay. So, and I didn't know anything about it except I read the back of the DVD case, right? So I knew the plot, but that's it.
Okay.
When I made these, does Ben Affleck affect an accent? No. I thought he might because he pretended to be someone else. I didn't know if this took place in the South or whatever. So, no.
He is basically Pearl Harbor Ben Affleck kind of in this movie.
He's too babyface for this movie.
Yeah, he is.
He just doesn't quite, he's not quite.
I don't buy that he's stealing cars. I don't buy.
Yeah, it needed to be, I don't know. I was going to get to it later, but I think there's a better movie.
John Malkovich.
Okay. So this is like 1995 instead of 2000, but it's Johnny Depp, Ashley Judd and John Malkovich is the bad guy.
There's also possibly too many people in the movie.
I think those three, I think Depp plays the character a little better. Ashley Judd is kind of like her role from Heat as like the you know, lady in love with the bad man. And then Malcolm. I think Gary Sinise is actually fine in this. He's not the weak link. He's just playing a weird dude. It's just the script is.
I think the script's bad.
I'd have somebody come in and punch it up a bit. Plug the holes, make the twist a little more believable, and maybe punch it up with you, like make it more in the vein of an Elmore Leonard script, you know?
This movie, but I feel like this is also a book, but it was also popular when we were like, this was a serious drama when we were kids. You might have seen it. A Simple Plan.
Yeah, I like, want to.
Billy Bob Thornton. I never saw that, but that always seemed like a serious drama, twisty movie.
Yeah.
Maybe make it like that. I don't know.
I want to see A Simple Plan. It's funny you bring that up. I like stuff like that. People find a bag of money. It's like, whoa, what do we do with this?
Exactly.
That's a good genre of anyway, whatever. Alternate cast. I think it's a better movie with that cast. Charlize Theron, good or bad? I thought she was going to be bad, but turns good and falls in love with Affleck at the end.
She's always bad.
She's always bad. Turns out. Been bad the whole time. Okay. Does somebody use the phrase reindeer games? As in, like, I got you playing my reindeer games, or I'm not going to play your reindeer games. So does the phrase come up, and who says it, Affleck or Sinise? Sinise says it.
Yeah, I was
kind of excited. I was like, yes, he said it. He's like, I got you playing my little reindeer games.
I didn't quite understand why he said it, though. I'll be completely honest. Like, that, no one says that.
Well, you say the title of the movie. Okay. Anyway, I was pumped. I was looking out for it, and I was pumped it cashed. Oh, do you also catch movies called Reindeer Games? Ben Affleck's character's name is Rudy.
Oh, yeah. I rented this from Amazon Prime, and I don't know if you've done this before, but they have like little trivia things throughout the movie. I clicked through a few of them. They actually had 41 trivia things throughout this movie.
Oh, you should have written them all down and just read them.
Yeah. Vin Diesel one was there. Yeah, the Rudolph thing was there.
It's thematic. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So I was bummed this didn't cash. Are we going to get Ben Affleck saying something meant to be cool or pithy and then like cocking a gun? You know, like they've never seen Santa hats like these before. And then next scene, you know that type of thing.
I know what you're talking about. I
thought for sure I would have bet heavily that it does happen. Doesn't. He does rev a car engine and say something at the very end. It's like the equivalent, but it doesn't technically count.
Do you think that would be a plausible way of how he starts that car? Is that, I don't know.
Hotwires it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're really able to do that?
He was a car thief. It was thematically appropriate. He was a car thief, and they have him in a car on the cliff at the end, and they're going to push him out. But instead, he hotwires it and puts it in reverse and kills the bad guy.
In what I would only describe as like a NASCAR trailer.
Yeah.
Where you would like have a stock car in.
Yeah. It's a cool looking truck. Because the bad guys are truckers.
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right. Does Affleck die at the end?
No.
I thought no, and he doesn't.
You would never die. Yeah, that's an easy one.
They lead you to believe it with that first shot, though. You're supposed to think he does.
No, I mean, if I was 15 or 16, yeah, I'm like, oh man, my. Mm-hmm. Affleck's dead, but no, I suss that out.
Too sophisticated. Yeah,
sophisticated for this movie.
Does Affleck kill Sinise personally at the end?
No,
I said yes. Thrown off building. Being more specific, no. Charlize Theron does.
Charlize Theron kills him.
It's part of the twist. Good twist.
True.
Are all of Santa's reindeer mentioned? Plus 600. Just yeah. Rudolph.
Yeah,
plus
I don't 100. Think so. Yeah, it's a negative.
No reindeer. I thought, he's going to mention them. He's going to do it in a sing-songy voice while chasing Affleck through an old building, was my guess. Not quite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that seemed like he's the bad guy chasing you and singing the song in a creepy sing-song voice to, like, a dark, abandoned warehouse.
Jack Nicholson type thing?
Yeah. Didn't happen. Yeah. There's a chasing in the woods.
It's true.
So So, oh, let's see. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in the soundtrack. I said yes, it was not. Mm-mm. Over under on Christmas songs in the soundtrack, I said at 2.5. The over cashed easily. There's 4.
Ah.
Yeah. There's the Dean Martin Let It Snow version that is at the end credits of Die Hard. It's in love scene with Affleck and Charlize Theron. There's a Stevie Wonder credit. There's 4. It easily cashed. What was Ben Affleck in jail for? I said bank robber. Turns out
close.
Grand Theft Auto.
Close.
Yeah. And then the last one. So I was like, so it was less a prop bet, more of, okay, before you see it, gauge it just by its reputation. And then after it, the basic point is, was it that bad? And I thought of it when I was saying, maybe this isn't as bad as everyone thought. So I said, I thought it was going to be a 6, 1 to 10, and I lowered it to 4.5. I can't put it over
5. I would see it's like a D+.
D+.
If I was watching it with you, it would be a C-. Just because of the jokes and the banter between us.
Yeah, it is entertaining to watch once, but like, I'm good. I got it.
Yeah, so that's Reindeer Games. We can't always have hits the holidays.
Maybe we'll go back to the old-timey stuff next year.
Yeah, we do. I have a surprise for you, Matt.
Yeah?
Because I wanted to talk about, I think you got some books for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I did get books for Christmas, but not physically.
What?
Yeah, but I went to the store, one of our bookstores in town, and they were having a special deal. And I have a 10-book book haul for you to end this episode, this Christmas episode. How about that?
All right, let's do it.
So the books I didn't get, my wife very generously, this is my like one thing, that my main thing I wanted. I now have a subscription for 2024 to the New York Review of Books Club. So every month I get shipped a book. They kind of release like 4 or 5 books a month. So I get one of the ones they kind of, I think it's usually a shorter one. And they send that to me every month. So
do you get to choose?
No.
Oh.
They kind of select it for me.
Hmm.
But they're usually pretty interesting.
Still cool. That's still cool. That's
so still very cool. I got some book credit to the Barnes & Noble and the Old Firehouse books, the kind of independent. But this, where I went, was Second & Charles, which I think is a national brand, where they somehow can sell books for like cheap. I don't exactly know how. Some of it's used, some of it's not. Mm-hmm. The deal they were having that it's 5 by 5 used fiction, get 5 for free.
Are they still doing that?
Today. I went today. Okay. So yeah. I spent $32 on these 10 books. And I wanted to go through them. And then I'll let you end it with what you got for Christmas. But yeah, I was very excited about this.
Yeah.
I had to text my wife. I said, I will get rid of 10 books from the library. Why am I telling you this? I bought 10 books today. She's like, oh, gosh. So I'm going to start with some of the stuff you might not be interested in. And then you'll see, I've kind of, many of these books are influenced by you, Matt. So you'll be happy. I'll start with an author I just read a couple weeks ago. She has a new book out called Absolution that I thought was fantastic. The author is Alice McDermott. And I picked up Charming Billy and Child of My Heart. She's a very good writer. I don't know if this is the kind of book you would like. Maybe, possibly. I've read 2 of her books so far, but I saw these 2. Had to pick them up.
Cool.
It's kind of good fiction.
Yeah. Good call on me not being...
You're not going to be too... That's why I started with those. Now let's get into stuff.
But hey, good for you, though.
Yeah, good for me. Good for me.
But yeah.
This looks great. This is an author I think we've both been meaning to read, part of maybe like our thriller corner, or mystery corner, whatever you want to say. It is The Complete Stories of Dorothy Sayers.
Hey, yeah.
How about that? In a nice, good paperback. It's like 400 pages. There are the stories of her main character, I want to say, is the Lord Peter Wimsey stories.
Okay.
Which take up most of that. That was a find. I was like, oh, I gotta get that. Next is a, I've seen the TV series of this. I watched it with my parents. And that is The Complete Father Brown by G.K. Chesterton.
Yeah.
Where it's basically a amateur sleuth, like a priest.
Yeah.
Father Brown sort of thing.
He's gonna, perfect. Yeah, he's on our list of the old-timey detective thing we're doing.
So those two are like awesome finds. Some stories there. Next up is another book in this series that we just read the first book in. I picked up Washington, D.C. by Gore Vidal.
Oh, nice.
This one takes place in 1930s, right?
It's the first one written. Chronologically, it's one of the last ones.
Okay.
So he wrote it in the 60s and then even before Burr. But
oh, really?
Yeah. But chronologically, it takes place, you know, later.
Interesting. Okay. Upcoming, we have our Flashman series, so I had to pick up some more Flashman books. So I picked up, and they're all kind of like various. His books have many different like cover art designs. Yes. So these are all actually three different ones. I have Flashman and the Dragon in paperback.
Nice. Yeah.
The classic one. I got Flashman and the Tiger in hardcover.
That's cool. That's the last one, or second to last one, I believe.
And then I have, this one is kind of a interesting one, Flashman and the Mountain of Light.
That's, yeah.
Pretty cool cover.
Last one. That's very cool.
Yeah.
That takes place in India.
Yeah.
The Tiger is in China, and Flashman the Tiger. That Flashman and the Tiger has a cameo by Sherlock Holmes in it.
Okay.
It's very funny. It's pretty good. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then my last two, a couple of mass market paperbacks.
Okay.
To round out the first book up, A Morning for Flamingos.
James Lee Burke.
Of James Lee Burke.
The James Lee Burke title, too. It's in keep, you know, like a...
There were like 30 James Lee Burke, and I just picked it based solely on the title.
Yep.
Because I couldn't find Neon Light.
Is in the Electric Mist with Confederate Dead.
It's funny you mentioned that book, because the last book I picked up would be...
Nice.
And the Electric Mist with the Confederate Dead, because you've talked about this book many a time on the podcast, and this is a very nice kind of like one of those taller mass market.
So yeah.
With strong binding there. So yeah, that's pretty solid book haul. I don't really buy as many books as I used to.
Yeah.
And I couldn't pass up this deal. Now I will at some, I maybe later on in January, I'll tell you the 10 books I get rid of. Maybe you'll want any some of those books. But I'm very happy with the selection.
That's a great book haul.
And I kind of was out of my comfort zone because I'm getting stuff, you know. I just finished the fourth Flashman book today. So I was like, I want to pick up the other ones. And then these other ones just kind of caught my eye. James Lee Burke was this is one of Matt's favorite authors. Let me pick up a couple. Question, will I be confused? There's like 20 books in the series. No.
They're kind of standalone. Like I've read them spread. I haven't actually read The Confederate Dead yet. I do a lot of him on audio because Patton reads the book and he's phenomenal at reading the.
I like his author photo too. Very cool.
It's cool. Looks hard not to picture him as Dave Robichaux. Like, I know you're not supposed to, but the author photo, James Lee Burke in a cowboy hat, and then the character, Dave Robichaux, it's pretty hard not to just have that be your character image, for what that's worth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You pick him as the detective.
So I'll post a picture of this and post it on our Instagram, because I always like a good book tower. But yeah, that was my afternoon today.
That's exciting. That's a good day.
I skipped lunch to buy these books.
Nice.
What'd you get for Christmas book wise?
I actually only got like one really big one. I'm excited about it. It'll be anticlimactic compared to your book haul. But I got, in addition to socks, underwear, and you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I got The Decline of the West by Oswald Spengler.
Oh, look at that. That is a very large book.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. I'm excited.
At what point during Christmas Day did you just kind of like want to leave through it and kind of ignore the family? Maybe. Did you
when
do that? I don't know. You may not.
Right when I got it.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Just checking.
Let me flip through. But it's good. I'm excited. It's like I talked a little bit about it last time. I like kind of the guy's theory. I'm listening to it on audio, but it's one of those things I'm probably going to want a hard copy to mark up, have things to go back to. A friend of the pod, Aldous Asterion, uses in his episode he did on Blood Meridian, on Forest of Symbols podcast, he references Spengler a lot.
Okay.
Like how, here's how.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah.
He's like, Cormac McCarthy probably had probably read Spengler, and it informed kind of the judge's worldview and all that. So I'm going to, basically, it's a long way of saying I'm going to use The Decline of the West to finally understand Blood Meridian and Cormac McCarthy.
There's nothing better than getting just a hefty history book or nonfiction book.
May not actually finish it in 10 years, but I love it.
And then just be like, you know what, family? I can't really talk right now. I got to read the introduction here and just think about stuff. Yeah.
And daydream about maybe having read it at some point, even though.
No. I mean, this is supposed to be the year where I just nominate really my own kind of book, but here I am buying 3 Flashman books, 2 James Lee Burke books, a couple books for me, but then I have Vidal, Dorothy Sayers is something we both want to read, and then G.K. Chesterton. It's not. If you told me 5 years ago this is what I'd be buying, I don't think I would have believed you. But I'm more than happy to have changed and evolved. So. Yeah.
I nominated The Man Who Was Thursday.
Chesterton. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right. I did not realize he, I think I maybe at one point realized he wrote Father Brown, but after I've watched I think it's British and it might be shown on PBS. I could be wrong about that, but I saw that. I was like, ooh, got to pick that up. So, it's always fun to buy some used books. So, buy 5, get 5 free. Come on now.
I might swing by and see if that's a deal. I got some cash too, so I might use.
Cash. I had so many books. I just like I at one point I dropped my stack on accident and had to like clumsily pick them up to get. And it was just kind of embarrassing. I was by myself. I think that does it for fun Christmas episode. We have a bunch of books coming up that I'm very excited for, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go quickly through our TBR for 2024 that we have coming up?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it real quick. We have A Question of Upbringing, Book 1, in A Dance to the Music of Time. We have Flashman at the Charge. We have The King David Report. We have HHHH, The Black Spider, The Historian, The Poison King, The Fellowship of the Ring. We have to finish Homo Deus. We also have The Master and Margarita, Life and Fate, and The Once and the Future King. A full slate of books. I have finished HHHH and Flashman at the Charge. I might contend this might be the best Flashman book in the series so far. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. But yeah, it's. I think we got a lot of fun stuff coming up for 2024, man. Don't you agree?
Yep, and we're going to knock a lot of them out, too. A lot of these aren't going to linger too much longer.
Some of those have been on the list for 2 years, maybe. But
ballpark. A couple of our listeners have already finished The Poison King.
And that like
it. It's good. It might be a two-parter. There's a lot to go over, so we might be a two-parter. But, yeah.
All right. We like to keep a full schedule, and we always get to the books eventually.
And we're going to be adding something else on our Patreon, too.
Yes. Patreon, we were producing content over there, but as far as the last episode 2023, it's been a good reading year. I think I might have read the most books I've ever read in a year this year, and I don't have the official numbers, but it's been a solid reading year. And then we'll kind of do the book Oscars coming up in the next month or two once the Oscar season kind of kicks into full gear, and that's always a fun episode. So a lot of good stuff on the horizon, Matt.
Yeah, I'm excited.
There you go. That's Matt's excited voice there as he discusses the upcoming. No, I'm just kidding. We will talk to you later over on our Patreon coming up, and also in the next week or two over with our regular episodes in 2024. And until then, happy reading.